I'd like to just take a moment, all of us, if we would, before we see what the Lord has for us right now. But, you know, today, I'm sure everybody's heard it. I think we need to take just a few moments with what went on in Ohio and El Paso, Texas. To my knowledge, is there another number, 30, when I left this morning, have gone into eternity. And there are people out there right now that are broken and beyond any words that we have to try to deal with a loss such as that. I tried to make a little sense out of it this morning, but there is no making sense out of anything like that other than God's word that says, you know, in these last days, the love of many is going to wax cold. It'll get worse and worse. And in Timothy, he makes a statement, know this also. You know, we know a lot of stuff, don't we? We think we do. But what the Holy Spirit is saying is, know this. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And if this isn't perilous, what's going on right now? Or if anybody thinks this world is getting better, or if we just get the right government in, it's going to be okay. This world is spinning out of control. And there is no stopping this. It's a perilous time. It's a time, in the Greek, it's a word without remedy except for God. And the world doesn't want to hear that. Because men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And that's what, you know, not only mother, father to children, but to fellow man. No regard whatsoever for the lives of individuals that have nothing to do with their little quirks and hatreds. But the word that really got me, besides the false accusers, incontinent, fierce. God threw that word in there, fierce. That word in the Greek means savage. These people that have done these things, that will continue to do them, and have already done, are demonically possessed. We better start understanding that. This isn't just a mental condition. These are savages. That Greek word means without the normal restraint. They can't contain themselves from doing something like this. So God is, you know, what I feel is he's trying to wake us up. Despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's the Holy Spirit. And I think it's time for us Christians to jump up. You know, do we just have a form of godliness? We go to church on Sunday, we attend every now and then a Bible study or a weekly one, we pray every now and then. Is that just a form of godliness, or are we going to get serious on this life that we have before us and those people that are out there to speak the love of Christ, to stand for what's good and what's right? Because there's people, as we just heard, they're haters of those who are good. So what? If they hated our Lord, they're going to hate us. But I think it's time for the Christian church. I'm not just speaking about us here, but the Christian church in America, it's time to stand up. Is gun control going to stop it? You know, I'm talking as an ex-cop. No. You know, they'll start stabbing people, clubbing them with baseball bats. They'll do anything they can. It's not guns any more than if you, you know, kill somebody with a car. Let's take away all the cars. Well, they're all on the computer. There's a good start. Where's half of this garbage getting spread? Where's this banter about going out and killing people? Let's control some of that stuff. But I think we need to control what God has given us. The ability to pray, the ability to stand in a gap somewhere. And if we can start it here, it might seem like, what are we really going to accomplish? We have no clue what God can accomplish by you saying one thing to one person about how much God loves us, about that these are the last days. This isn't any pie in the sky stuff. Well, it might be another 100 years. How about those people who went into eternity? Did they have 100 years before the Lord came back for his church? No. They went yesterday, the day before. So I think it's time for us, Father, help us to discern the times. The enemy is going to try to change these times, Lord. And they have certainly changed from when most of us in this room were growing up. So help us, Lord, to understand our days, what we have, and to pray for those that are around us, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, thank the Lord. You know, no apologies. It's just, I think it's just another one of those wake-ups like in the garden. You know, how many times did the Lord have to come to his followers and shake them and say, hey, didn't I ask you to pray? Hey, can't you even stay awake for 1 hour? Hey, wake up. They're here. And I think that's our next wake-up call. They're here. It's going to be here in Nedelin. Oh, not El Paso, right? Not Dayton, Ohio, not the synagogue, no, not in the church. It could be here, and that's not a scare tackle. Let's just walk circumspectly, not as fools redeeming the time as these days are evil. So now that's the good news. No, it's today's news. God is putting it out in bold headlines for us, that this is not a game, this thing called life. This is serious. And I know everyone in here, or I don't know everyone, but I pray every one of you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. We never know when that time that we're going to spin into eternity is going to come. We never know, never. And now is the day. If you have ears to hear, if you have a heart that says it's willing, then open our hearts and our ears to the Lord Jesus Christ. What he says today, 2 Thessalonians is what we're going to be in, chapter 3. We left off. Where did we leave off? We left off probably... Well, we were in 13 through 18, but what we got last week from our Lord was how to treat one another, how to treat those individuals that are unable to restrain themselves, those that we call brothers and sisters, those that are outside these walls or any church wall. God was telling us how we should speak to those people, how we should present ourselves to them, that we should admonish them as a brother. Don't treat them like an enemy. And for some reason, people just, we have this surge of everybody is my enemy. Everybody is against me. Nobody likes me. God's saying, wait a minute, nobody liked me either. Did that stop him? No. So let's get out there with what God gave us. In dealing with these people, just trying to show them the love of Christ. Remember, I want to have us turn to 2 Timothy 2 today when you get home. The Lord says that the servant of the Lord, that's every one of us, I pray. How many are in full-time service? Can I trick anybody with this one? You know, if you're a Christian, you're in full-time service. Just because you don't stand up here week after week or teach a Bible study, you're in full-time service. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. See, that's what's happening. That peradventure God would give them that acknowledging to the truth, and that they might be able to release themselves from the snare of the enemy, which they set for themselves in a sense, that they're taken captive. Man, this is how we have to deal with each other, because tomorrow somebody that we might have had an opportunity to pray for, somebody that we might have an opportunity to speak to, can spin into eternity. But so much stuff stands in the way of that, doesn't it? My. We all have, myopia. It's an eye problem. I don't feel like doing that. I don't think that's for me. I'll have to pray. I don't know if God is telling me. It's all about me. But God is saying, no, Doug, it's all about the rest of my children out there. It's for the rest of my sheep. And I've given you, and he's given every one of us stuff to deal with what we're looking at. So I want to look at that today. I should get going. Today's text will be just verse 15. No, 16. But let's read it in its remaining context. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul, with mine own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father God, help us to have our ears open today. Help us to see you high and lifted up. not just Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of our souls, the God of the universe, the King of kings, the only one that's worthy of our praise, the only one that's worthy of our worship. Help us, Lord. We're so human, every one of us. And those things just seem to flood us and get in the way. But today, just for maybe a glimpse, let us see you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love 16 because it shows me that Paul was an Irishman. Now the Lord of peace himself. Right, Ted? Our grandfather would, you'd hear his voice and we'd say, "Who's that?" And he'd say, "'Tis himself." So that's, anyhow, let's get on with it. The Lord of peace, I mean, and this is one of those, this is more than a salutation to the end of an epistle, okay? If we take time, because I just got froze on that verse. And I think if we meditate, don't be afraid of that word meditate. You know, it's in the Psalms, Selah. Think on this, that's all it is. What is God saying? And my peace, Pat's peace, Peter's peace, you know, a lot of you know, our peace was ripped out from under us, balled up somehow, and thrown out the window. I don't know if I'm speaking for you. And when I try to grab it, it comes back. But if we're not so alert and on guard, that peace is what the enemy of our soul is coming after day after day after day. He's trying to rob that, because with the absence of that, then comes all the doubts, all the fears, all the questioning towards God that we can ever summon up. So if we look at this as more than just an ending, as we do, now the peace of, we just blow it out. Paul starts and ends his epistles with these words, grace and peace. Read them. In the beginning of the epistle, he starts, grace and peace be to you, and grace and peace at the end of this epistle, or he even throws in mercy, grace, peace, and mercy. And I started to look at that, and I thought, these are two today that we have, grace and peace, God bless you. These are two of the supreme gifts that God has given to us. Somebody go out and bark at that dog. Rick, no, I'm only kidding. Now, see, if Tom Neal was here, that Tom was known for his barking. He'd ride down the highway with the window open and somebody would be there and he'd bark at them. Well, I didn't understand. He said, that just gets their attention the next time I get to talk to him. So, there's another one back there. It's all right. I too am a dog lover. These are two, and we have to, just to try to understand when I say these are supreme gifts that God has given to us. You know, we can have the gift of tongues. We can have the gift of interpretation. We can have the gift of discernment. We can have the gift of prophecy, healings. We can have all of that. But if we don't have deeply rooted in us God's grace, God's peace, and God's mercy, I think the rest of them is just, it's Christianese. It's just, a form of godliness. Oh, I got the gift of healing. But if you watch the person, their life is spinning out of control. Oh, I got the gift of discernment, but there's no grace or mercy for that individual. So without these, I really feel that the rest need to just sit tight for a while until the Holy Spirit says, okay, now you get this one. We have one of the greatest gifts going, and that's the gift of peace. And as it said, the Lord of peace himself give you peace, and that's me, and I pray you, always by all means. We might not like some of the means all the time. God can use anything he wants. Does he do it to us? Be careful how you say that. God isn't doing. God didn't take our daughter on purpose. God didn't take Pete's wife. He didn't do that. But he allowed it in this great scheme of life for some reason. And what that is that's by one of those means. Why? So that peace can come back into our lives and we realize he's the peace, not anything else down here. So sometimes he lets adversity come into your life. Sometimes he lets bankruptcies, broken marriages, this, that, and the other thing come into our life. He allows them so that we might look to him and to him alone. Because I don't know about your situations, but ours, let's say, there is nothing in this world that ever is going to make that good. Nothing. Sorry. Hugs, words, you know, nothing. But God can, and God will, because he's God. And we have to believe that. So as we look at this today, please, I want to understand the Lord of peace is who we have. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole name. Not just Jesus, not just the guy from out of town, not just, you know, my bud or my friend. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul makes this statement in Thessalonians, this is just one of the many names of Jesus and our God that are in the Bible. I think Peter's probably got one available. I mean, you can get it on your internet. Look up the names of God. There's, how many are in there? 50 some odd different names, probably plus some. But when he said the Lord of peace, what we've got is Jehovah Shalom. The Hebrew word shalom, peace. Our word peace is that Hebrew word shalom. And that is Jehovah Shalom. He's also Adonai. He's Yahweh. He's Elohim. He's got names that are above just the man upstairs. Names that carry so much more authority than what we think he is able to do in our lives. And this Lord of peace is saying, Doug, and Peter, and Rick, and the rest of you, I want to bring you peace by any means. And you know, the greatest means is to willingly go along with it. That's the easiest way. Rick laughs. He's a kind of one of our law authorities. There's a thing in the police profession that when you arrest a perpetrator, you tell him we can do this the easy way or the hard way. God works the same way. And he wants to do it the easy way. He wants to just embrace whoever has got ears this morning to hear. He wants to pull you in. He wants to hold you and hug you. And like a mother or a father would do to a baby, it's going to be okay. It's how many, would you take Eden and tell her, shut up, we're trying to watch the news. God doesn't do that. God wants to pick us up, pull us in, tell us how much he loves us. Shh, bring peace into our lives. But we've got to let him do this. So Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim, the Lord of peace, wants to bring you peace. He wants to bring me peace by any means today that is humanly possible. So the question as we get going, and I, you know, try to remember this one. Try to be as honest as you can with yourself and with God, because I have to. This isn't spoken to anybody in particular. Maybe Tom. I don't know. This isn't spoken to anybody except for me. The question is, where do you go for your peace during those dark times? I mean, it deserves honesty. Some people run to money, cars, drugs, alcohol, sex, TV, computers. What else is there? Cars. Friends, if they're truly friends. But where do you run during those dark times for your peace? And I really feel God was asking me that. God is asking you that. Where is that place that you might have created? Well, I do that because it brings me peace. God wants to be our peace. No, K-N-O-W, remember that old bumper? No Jesus, no peace. N-O, no Jesus, no peace. A cigarette, a drug, a booze, a TV program, a computer, a good friend even, will not bring peace unless it's founded and grounded in Jesus Christ. And that's what he was trying to get across to me, and I'm just sharing that. So you can stick something in there. Let's go to John 14 quickly. John 14, 27. This, you know, where do I go during these dark times? Because I know every one of us has it. And all of a sudden, that's where the enemy kind of works on us and meets us there and makes you question, did God really say that? Did God really promise that? Well, you must have done something to really hack him off because he's not working in your life. We have to get rid of these statements. God, Jesus Christ in 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. Peace, irene. That word is a wholeness in every area of our life. It's safety, it's security. He's not just asking that something would come and go in our lives depending on circumstances. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. So that's what prompted that. Where do you go? Where's that place during those peaceless or dark times? But I'm giving you a peace, Christ says, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who's troubled here today? Who's afraid here today? God is saying, don't let it. Human responsibility on that side of the balance scale. That's mine. Don't let it. I'm allowing it. I want to wallow. I've been in some dark places the last 3 months. Dark places. Today is the third month that our daughter is gone. And I am just crawling out of a dark place. But you know what? God didn't yank me out of that dark place. He let me sit there because I said, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to do this. I don't feel like preaching. But it's when we say, yes, Lord, help me out. Help me out. He's going to reach down and he's going to pull us out of that because he promised it. But I, in my human responsibility, cannot allow that peace to be disturbed, robbed, taken. Over here is God's sovereignty. Only him. Do we understand that? It's nothing else. It's even, you know, oh, I'm going to take a sabbatical. Oh, I'm going to shut down. I'm leaving. None of that's going to bring peace. It's bringing ourselves to the throne every single moment when that peace is shaken, like in Corinthians when Paul said that I would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And he says, taking it captive, some of us, Dad just lied to us. Taking us to church. He put us in the car, drove us, dropped us off. I went to the early service, you know. When I was old enough, if you're visiting, Ted said, you know, we only have one service. But some people, you know, the picture is grabbing you by the ear and throwing this thing down in front of Christ. So if your peace is being robbed today because of, you fill in the blank. You need to take it. God has already done it. It is finished. I've done it. I've granted you peace. I've granted you mercy. I've granted you the grace that it's going to take today to get through this world. You and I have to grab whatever it is that's besetting us and throw it down at the throne. And maybe it's going to get up and squirm away. Well, grab it again is what God is trying to explain to us. Don't be troubled and don't be afraid. 16. Just look at 16, 33.
Stuff hasn't come in yet.
Here it comes. He says in John 16, verse 33, these things, whose dog is out there? You better go get it. Puppy's out there getting pummeled right now.
There's a convertible out there with the top down.
Oh, Walter. Oh, no. It's got a time. There you go. Okay, 33, let's get moving. These things I have spoken unto you. What things? Man, let's read what God is saying about bringing us peace and the stuff that's going to come. Remember, here he's, these things I have spoken unto you that in me, so you've got to be in Christ. Do we understand that? Doug, that's a little bit, that's kind of, you know, real narrow. Yes, it is narrow. It's very narrow. You got to be in Christ to know Christ's peace. Not just a form of some kind of godliness, but searching him, understanding what he's trying to do. I have spoken this unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulations, trials, troubles, things that are going to beset us. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. This world is going to bring things daily to rock our peace. And God's saying, hold on to it. We have to have that confident security. That peace that God speaks of 429 times in the King James. 429 times. Think he's trying to get my ears open? He mentions peace. Genesis 15:15, I think, was the first time it was ever mentioned. All the way through, God is trying to tell us, you need to be secure in Christ to know this peace. You've got to realize it's going to guide us. It's going to provide for us. It's going to make us strong. It's going to sustain us through whatever the problem is. It's going to deliver us from those dark, dark times. And he will bring that peace. So remember the question as I pull it to close. Where do you go for those dark times? Christ wants to be your light. Christ wants to be my light. Christ wants to be my peace. Through all of these. Judges That'll get the pages unstuck, wouldn't it? Judges. Tremendous story. Can I have, I know it's communion, but I feel this is critical stuff for me. And when I talk out loud, I hear myself, and it's better, okay? I don't know about you. Dad used to say, shut up and listen to yourself, remember? And Teddy and I thought, how do you do that? How do you? In Judges 6, and the children of Israel, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Some of us in here today, your peace is rocked, and you've been delivered into something that's well beyond your control to try to get out of, to try to bring some semblance of order into. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites and the children of Israel made themselves dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Instead of relying on Christ, they made dens in some things that already existed, the mountains, the caves that were in there. They went into these things. So what does that say to Doug? What is that? It's where do you go during the dark times, during the troubled, peaceless times? Do you go to something that is man-made? Do you go to something that you've created to bring your peace in there? That's the same as a den or a cave or anything else. And if you remember, God gave us this story a couple times with Elijah. Elijah got chased at one time, and he ran off into a cave, and poor me, he had the Elijah syndrome, and God came to him in a still, small voice. Wasn't in an earthquake, wasn't in the rain, wasn't in the fire, all this stuff. What that says is that I'm so twisted and spinning in my lack of peace and me and what's going on that I can't hear God. He was in a still, small voice. So when I'm sitting there accusing God, as we're going to see in a second, or wondering, gee, where are you, Lord? How come this happened? We get that same thing going on that Elijah got on. He couldn't hear God until he, again, shut up and heard himself. That's when God said, hey, Elijah, go back from where you started. Go back to that desert spot where your peace, in a sense, was ripped out from under you. Go back to that spot and start again. That's what God told Elijah. And here, what we have with Gideon, he's running to these man-made things. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came and the Amalekites, and the I'm hurrying too much, and the children of the east even, they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth till it came to Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Ever felt like everything you're trying to do, nothing is producing, nothing is getting any better? It's because God's trying to show us it's not out there. It's in Him. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers or locusts for multitude, for both they and their camels, and without the number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Turning point. Where are you going? If your peace is rocked today, where are you going? I'm asking you, along with myself, stop it. Just stop that. Cry out to the Lord today. We walk out of here every single Sunday with the same problem. Broken marriages, broken hearts, finances, health. We walk out that door into the same arms that sent us in here, hopefully, to hear something. When he cried out to the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Remember when you didn't have peace? Do you remember when you came to the Lord? Remember when we said, here I am, take me, I can't take this anymore, I can't do this anymore, and all of a sudden something happened. Most of us probably can't even explain it, but something left us, didn't it? And something was put back in, and that was the peace of God that passes understanding. But it didn't happen until you cried out, until I cried out. God's a perfect gentleman. If you're in here today, unsaved, no relationship with Jesus Christ, He's not going to come and grab you and make you worship. He's already come up here and pled for us. You know, here I am. Here I am. I'm here for you. not for Doug or Rick or Betty Moshe that used to be with us. I'm here for you. When they cried out, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Remember where you were that day. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the, and he's saying this to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not. Fear not. That song we sang today, I mean, make it more than bouncing ball on the wall, you know? What's the words there? My fear can't stand a chance. I don't know about you. You ever have fear grip you? You ever have fear really take you and throw you down and pick you up and throw you down again? I had a hard time with that because I want to be honest. But you know, fear can be our friend, if you would. It can heighten our senses. It can make us aware. Instead of being afraid and running into walls in all different places, our fear can be our ally. It can help us to heighten our senses, heighten what we've heard about God. He's here. He's going to help us. So he's saying, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of this world, the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you haven't obeyed my voice. And there came an angel from the Lord and sat under an oak that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed me. All remember Gideon, wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Fear, lack of peace. He was worried, oh, they're going to come. They're going to rob us. Read the story about Gideon. I'm again hurrying. He's down in a wine press threshing wheat. Oh, you know this, a wine press was something that was down here. When you thresh wheat at those times, you used your winnowing fork. You threw it up in the air. You were on a hilltop so the wind would blow all the chaff away and you had nothing perfect. He's down there hiding in this man-made place for peace or for safety. And the angel of the Lord appeared, verse 12, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I got to finish this. The Lord is with you. Don't just take that as a blank statement. The Lord is with you. He's here. He's in our presence. He wants to pull us in. And Gideon said unto him, in the King James it says, oh my Lord. I don't know what you know what that is in the Hebrew? Pardon me? That's what that word is in the Hebrew. Pardon me? How many times have we heard something from God and it's almost like, you know, excuse me? Really? Whatever? I mean, that's the same kind of wordage right there. Pardon me, but you know, the Lord has pardoned us if we just accept what he's offering. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us? Did you ever have that or hear it from? Soon as everything goes wrong, soon as the peace is rocked, we start questioning God, don't we? Why is this happening? Why did he die? How come your friends? How come your best friend passed? You know, we want to ask the, why, God? Why? And it rocks our peace because we don't hear that answer. We don't hear that answer. And we want to hear that. And here's Gideon saying the same thing. Where are all your miracles? They take a long time sometimes, don't they, bro? Miracles, we want them like this. Miracles sometimes take years and years and maybe more years to come into our life. But now the Lord has forsaken us. Hebrews 13, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never, never. So he's offering his peace today. Not like Gideon. You've forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the enemy. Read the rest of the story. I have to stop. Verse 24. Robin usually says two more. It's in the same story, but circle verse 24. Our responsibility to get a hold of this peace wherever you're hiding today, whatever cave you're in, whatever it is that's caused you to miss God's peace in your situation. Here it is again. Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Remember I said that before when Paul used that word in there, the Lord of peace himself. He was referring back to what he knew. The Lord of peace is Jehovah Shalom unto this day, and it is yet an Oprah of the Abizarites. Do you have a place, is what I'm asking. Do you have a place to go meet God? I'm not talking about Sunday morning. I mean when the times get rough, when you're rocked in peace. Well, we need a special quiet place, but I mean it could be in your car, it could be in your workplace, it could be in the bathroom, but we need to start going there to get this peace. Because at the end, as Paul Harvey says, and now for the rest of the story, verse 34, but remember, all this peace is getting shaken. Hiding in caves, hiding in dens, running to dark places, allowing ourselves to gripe and moan and spend time where we don't belong. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In the Hebrew, that means that the Holy Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. I don't know about you, but that one just blew my mind. The Holy Spirit clothed himself in this fearful man, this guy who was hiding at his own doing for his benefit of what he was worried about. The Holy Spirit came and clothed himself with Gideon, blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. End it before we go any further. Man, I got a couple more good ones. The Holy Spirit wants to live within you. He wants to do more than just wrap us a little bit. He wants more than just to come on us for strength at this moment. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to abide in us. He wants to be our peace. He wants to bring that peace that only God can give. That one, he can only do. The acceptance of that is up to you and I. We have to receive him. But he desires, please, you know, what does God want from me? He wants you. He wants me. He wants our hearts. He wants our children. He wants every one of our problems. He wants every one of our burdens. And with those, he just wants to bring them to a spot where they're not as heavy anymore. They're not the burden that they used to be anymore, because we got the peace of God that passes understanding. And if we don't get anxious, as Philippians says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding. Anything that we can come up with in here, it goes beyond that. Beyond that. And God is saying that peace that passes understanding will guard our heart, rule our mind in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to see just the enormity of the gift of peace and grace and mercy as we try to make day by day through this world. So just cause us to remember your words. Cause us to remember your promises, Father, not as Gideon, and throw them back at you. Where are all the miracles? Where are all the prophets that should bring me these words? Where are all these things you swore to my father? Father, they're right in this room. There's so many of them. So help us, Lord, to see you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. I don't know what we're doing now.